We pray. Heavenly Father, you who created light and made it dawn on that first day of creation, you have created light of faith in our hearts. You have planted your light in us, and we pray that as these days grow dark, your light might grow ever brighter and stronger in our hearts, souls, and lives. Be with us, dear Lord, that we might eagerly anticipate your arrival with joy, now and forever, in Christ. Amen. If we start reading the Bible from the beginning, it's only the sixth chapter of the first book how we hear the people had turned evil and wicked. All their dreaming and plotting was evil all the time, Scripture says. How Noah was a righteous man with a calling from God to build an ark. How every man, woman, and child would be drowned, wiped off the face of the earth. How only Noah and his family would survive God's judgment. Only 8 people in a big world with a bigger God to protect them. As Noah heard the blows of his hammer echoing through the ark, I wonder if his ear imagined the sound of the waves crashing against the side of the ark. As he heard the bleating and mooing and squawking of the animals entering the ark, I wonder if his ear imagined the screams of the people outside the ark as the water rose higher and higher. Noah had to protect, to guard his heart for what was about to come, from becoming overwhelmed and consumed about the danger that was about to come on the face of the earth. I wonder whether Noah's eyes teared up as he thought about his neighbors and friends who were about to fall under God's judgment. Or maybe his jaw clenched tight for the people who had become like wild animals, mauling and devouring each other in their unbridled passions and perversions, their lust and lies and violence. They were about to get what their actions deserved. Or maybe Noah's lungs heaved a great sigh as he remembered that it was only by God's grace that he was kept on the narrow path of building that ark and worshiping his Savior. For he too was tempted to put down his hammer and join his neighbors in living a life wasted, wretched, exotic. Or maybe Noah's lips tightened as he thought of the thousands of conversations he had with his neighbors about God's coming judgment and their one and only Savior. With no one outside of his family taking their sins or their Messiah's sacrifice seriously. But I, however, think it's better to envision Noah as having a great smile of joy on his face, ecstatic anticipation, trusting that his sins were forgiven by his Savior, and leaving this wicked world in the hands of the Lord God Almighty, Noah was about to see God's awesome power and his ability to save. Now, isn't that something to anticipate and get excited about? We have so much in common with Noah. These days are heavy with wicked people parading their perversion all through the streets. We feel that tug of our sinful nature that wants to join in living for the moment. We too have great regret and repent heavily for the times that we have given in to those temptations and become ourselves so worldly. We need to be on guard for our hearts carefully in these end times. Time is running out. When Jesus floods this world with his glory, will we be weighed down and dead in a trap? Or watching, praying, ready for Jesus? After describing how nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring of the tossing of the sea, people having fainted in terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth, then Jesus warns his disciples, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And they will close on you like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. When our days are like Noah's days, filled with violence and perversion, every inclination of man's heart evil all the time, when panic sets into people's hearts, a panic so great that they're afraid to walk the streets, terrified by strangers, unable to trust family or friends, and a heavy pessimism that gets them to believe that everything is only going to get worse, then we need to see the signs of the times. That spiritual smoke detector going off in our minds telling us, this is the day of Jesus' arrival. Carousing, drunkenness, the anxieties of life. What is Jesus talking about? Well, carousing. Looking here and there on every main street and back alley for any sex or materialism or drugs or anything that makes a person worthless and a wasted human being. Have we fallen into those traps? To mask and medicate the horror of the end times, people will give themselves over to drunkenness, alcoholism, addiction of any and various kinds, all to numb the pain. No matter how much wealth, technology, or experiences people pile up, Americans will still be consumed by anxiety. As the world loses control, loses freedom, loses love, hope, and joy, why, we ourselves might be weighed down with the anxieties of life. Jesus warns that judgment day will close on them suddenly like a trap. A trap. Like a rat trap. Design is pretty simple and straightforward. A little cheese, a little bar, and without the rat knowing, a trap would be worthless if the rat could actually figure out what it's designed to do. That it really is a trap. A trap that kills. The rat has eyes, but it cannot see the metal bar that will come crushing down on its head. All rats crave cheese. A rat thinks with its nose. Are we rats? Satan tempts us to continually hunger for the cheese of this world, the cheese of pleasure and power, the cheese of panic and fear, the cheese of anger and distrust, or lust and coveting, or lies and deceit. That's the way the world works. So that we snuff out that faith that God has created. So that we blame all the snakes in our gardens for our lack of faith. And so that we're caught in the steel trap on Judgment Day with no faith, love, or hope. Do we see the trap that is there set for us in loving this world, drooling over its evil passions and desires, or whining in anxiety and fear as though God were dead? We have many sins to repent of, sins for which our Lord spilt his holy blood to purchase forgiveness. Jesus says, be careful. Live in these last days like a Christian funeral. We grieve, but not as unbelievers who have no hope. We cry tears of anguish over the depravity of this world and over the wretched, rebellious things we ourselves have done. But we lift our eyes heavenward and fill our hearts with the joy of the salvation Christ has purchased for us. We are the redeemed children of God. The very same Savior who came to pay for our sins in his holy blood, who came to rise in victory from the grave to open the gates of heaven for us, he is the very same Savior who is coming yet again. May he find us watching, praying, and ready for Jesus. Even in the darkness of this evil day, God wants joy to live in our heart of hearts. Like the shepherds of Bethlehem on that first Christmas Eve. The shepherds reach into their bags for a supper of dried fish and fruit, or maybe leftover mutton or stew. Having stood guard all day long, watching for the wolves while the sheep grazed, having herded the sheep back into their stone-walled corral for a safe night's sleep, having started a campfire as the thick darkness of night enveloped them, having not a clue that an angel was about to stand right beside them. Shock as the glorious light appeared on the dark horizon. An angel of God with a message and a chorus of angels with a song. The shepherds in joyful anticipation hurried to see the newborn Messiah. They left with their hearts bursting with joy, and they were not disappointed. We have heard the message from the Messiah himself, and our hearts are bursting with joy as we anticipate Jesus breaking through our night sky and us rushing to see his coming. Jesus calls for us, his disciples, to detach from this dysfunctional world, to rivet our attention on the glory that is about to be revealed. Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen on the face of the earth and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? King Nebuchadnezzar ordered all the people to bow down and worship the golden idol or be thrown into the fiery furnace. The people confessed that the king was their God, while Shadrach confessed that God was his king. The people confessed or were feared the fire of the king. Meshach feared the fire of hell. The people trusted the king to keep them safe, while Abednego trusted God to keep them safe. The people were filled with fear over what the king would do to them, while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were filled with joy over what God had, could, and would do for them. God's love and forgiveness had prepared for them for death. Prepared them for death so that they could live lives carefully, watching their life and doctrine closely, watching their own hearts so that they did not become overwhelmed by sin, watching that they remain repentant and humble believers, watching by worshiping the Lord God of heaven and earth, and watching for that great day of deliverance. Those who forget to worship, who are too busy to read God's word, who don't crave to be amongst the family of believers, are kind of like foolish swimmers who jump off the solid rock of salvation and swim in an ocean of sin and are soon caught in the undertow and die eternally. Jesus calls for us to watch with joy. He is coming. Watch and pray. Reach out beyond the shallow ball of the physical world into a world beyond our worlds. Reach into heaven itself. Reach out with prayers into the very ears and heart of our Lord God Almighty. The pagan world babbles in thin air to nothingness, hoping for an answer, while we pour out our hearts to the Almighty God, trusting in His promises that He will hear an answer. The pagan world pleads for sinful pleasures without judgment, while we pray for fallen souls that God might bring them to faith, for God to preserve all believers in what is about to come onto the earth, and for all Christians' hearts to be made joyous and ready for Jesus' return. Are we ready and able to stand before the Son of Man? The shepherds of Bethlehem were shocked when the angel appeared. While Noah had more suspense as he marked off the 120 years. He knew when God would come, but it was still magnificent to behold. We are filled with joyful suspense and will be shocked, even though we anticipate His arrival. We know He will come soon, but how soon is still a mystery. We know what Jesus will do, but it will still be magnificent beyond anything we could imagine. We must stay in His grace, feeding our souls on His powerful promises, holding His word ever dear in our hearts. Then we will be able and ready to see Him face to face through His sacrifice, which purchased our forgiveness, to stand as the blood-bought children of God. What a day that will be when we will see Jesus in all of His glory. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, the time is ticking, the hour is short. Use Your word to draw our attention to You and Your powerful promises that sustain us and give us hope and joy in a fallen world. Bless us and fill us to overflowing with Your light divine, that we might sing with the heavenly angels at Your holy arrival, now and forevermore, in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.